A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 4th July 2024, Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from our book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code. We are at code number 118. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bản Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phổ. Namo Bản Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phổ. Namo Bản Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phổ. Namo Quan Sư Yin Phu Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yin Phu Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yin Phu Sa. Namo Vân Sư Phu Sa. Namo Vân Sư Phu Sa. Namo Vân Sư Phu Sa. Namo Phổ Phu Sa. Namo Phổ Phu Sa. Namo Phổ Phu Sa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantā Abhivādemi. Svākātu Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vīramāni sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīna dānā vīramāni sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramāni sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramāni sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamādatthāna vīramāni sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ganna sārappa titthena dipena tamadamsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamam vanna ganda guno petam etam kusuma santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Betang Kesumena Nena Punena Matena Chahotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bawang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parika Pitang Anu Kampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parika Pitang Anu Kampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pojanang Parika Pitang Anu Kampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within us. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free in Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balanced or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect Triple Ja. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Just remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. Yeah. So as explained before, awareness-based meditation is to help us develop the stability of inner awareness within our heart area, so that we can be ever mindful, constantly away from there. To do that, you need to understand a very important clear pointer that points direct to the cultivation. Means to be aware is not to think, not to arise the thought. The definition of sati is an awareness before the knowing, before we perceive anything or come to know anything. So there is nothing for you to know or do. Well, all these are activity of the thought process. So just relax completely, body and mind, so that we are at ease. Then the mind will settle down, because you are just relaxed, you are not thinking. Then after that, maintain awareness. Means whatever arises, just aware, finish. Don't try to continue or let it proliferate or develop the chattering, the inner chattering or verbalization. All these are the activity of thought, sankhara, thought activity and movement. And when you are active in your thinking or thought process, you cannot be aware. To be aware is to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. Just aware, finish. Whatever arises, aware, finish. So always remember that. Then you just meditate. To meditate is to relax and maintain awareness until the mind settles down and become very quiet, very still. And there is a free mind in the state of sati. And the stability of it will develop samadhi until the mind enters sati on its own. That's how your stability of mindfulness will develop. Okay, with that, I will let you continue with your training of the mind to be aware. For those who already know how to stabilize the awareness, you just stay at the heart area, relax into it, maintain awareness, and let the nature develop the activity and movement within. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokkadam. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja carana sampanno สุขโตโลกวิดูอนุตโรปุริสธรรมสารถิสัตตเทวมโนสานังพุทโธภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอะกาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกปานายโกปัจจตังเวทิตาโบวิโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆปุจจปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติทั้งชาตรีปุริสโยคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตะเคเนโยอัญจะลิกาละเนโยอนุตรังปุญญังเขตังโลกาสติวิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, you can be seated. Now we shall continue from where we stopped. We are at Unique Dhamma Code 118.Let us turn to page 33 of this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. So this code is very important and is very beautiful. By now, I think most of us would have understood it quite clearly. Unique Dhamma Code 118.Everything is in a state of constant flux within the existential world, within the conditioned arising world, and the dependent originating world. So here, constant state of flux means whatever that exists within our phenomenal worldOf consciousness, or what we call the existential world, they are in a state of constant flux. So, I will use the whiteboard to explain to you from the four circle formation how the phenomenal world of consciousness, the last circle.Arise, and this is what we are referring to. It is here that existence arises. So here we call it the existential world, because this is where everything arises. Then this existential world is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena.That's why we also call it a condition arising world or dependent originating world. And how this arises, as we have gone through, is from the source or the original nature, the oneness nature. The first thing to arise is our pure awareness nature.This one is what sati is. This is just aware. It's a nature. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But this one is very important. From here, it starts. that it create thinking, thought process, mundane activity, the aggregates of form and mind. That's why we have the mundane mind. This is where the mundane mind is. Then this is also where we call it the five aggregates of form and mind, the mental aspect, which is the thought process. And because we have a physical body, we have a mind, so upon contact of mind with the physical body that has the senses, the six sense door, it will trigger off, like the physics experiment, the six type of respective sense door consciousness. That's why from here, the five aggregate of form and mind, the living being or the human, they can become conscious of life. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Unless you are born with defective senses. So if that senses is not in a working condition, of course, you cannot develop the ability to be conscious of that particular sense basis. Like just now on the way here, my daughter Sui was sharing with me that there was a family, karmically I think quite challenging. So this family belongs to her friend's side. Both the parents, they were born dumb and deaf. You understand? The two senses cannot speak, no voice, then dumb, cannot hear anything. Both the parents, not one of them. Then the children, one of them also, both dumb and the children, okay. Oh, means they communicate through sign language. Yeah. But the children actually also communicate with them through sign language. So when you have such a situation, of course, that phenomenal world of consciousness that they live in will only have four instead of six. So they cannot hear, they cannot speak. Yeah. So in order for us to understand this existential world, or what we call the phenomenal world of consciousness, we need to understand clearly how this come about. So like I say, if you meditate, you develop the awareness nature within to see all this clearly. Then you will come to understand why in that unique code 118 I mentioned everything within the conditioned world or existential world is in a state of constant flux. That's why the Mahayana Sutta, we have the Diamond Sutta, they have the famous code in the four stanza wisdom code. Each year you wait for Zhu Meng Huan Pao Yin, Zhu Lu Yi Lu Tian, Ying Zuo Lu Si Guan. So the English translation is, each year you wait for means everything within the conditioned world is conditioned Dhamma. Why? Because this conditioned world, they arise based on condition, causes and condition. That's why it's called a conditioned world. And this is where we live, where we exist. That's why it's called the existential world. And this is also the place where phenomenal world of consciousness keep on arising and passing away because of the five aggregate of form and mind. So when you are in the meditative state with awareness, you can see all this creation very clearly. Then you can develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you manifest. Then you will understand clearly how all this arise and pass away. That's how the condition will manifest the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkang, and anatta. And also the reason why the Buddha, when he teach the Dhamma, he summarized all of life into just four beautiful and very, very special truths, which is called the Aryan truth, or what we call noble truth, because Aryas are enlightened beings. They are called noble ones. They are very noble in all aspects of life. Very noble in the way they understand life. They have wisdom. And in the way they communicate with fellow living beings, nature, and the world. So the communication happens through their senses. That's why they will have right thought, right speech, right action, and they will know how to use it to live their life very well. That's why within the Noble Eightfold Path, you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you have the four right effort. Then you have the Samasati and Samasamadhi. If you have all this embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, then you are truly a noble one with noble qualities. Otherwise, you cannot be a noble one, and you are not qualified as defined by the Buddha of what an enlightened being is, Arya. Yeah. So, in order to develop all this understanding, we really need to develop the awareness-based meditation. That's why from the mundane mind or the phenomenal world of consciousness, we must not get lost here. We must silence our mind, which is this mundane mind, and let it return to this pure awareness nature. And from here, this pure awareness nature, which I put at the apex of the triangle, this one can summarize clearly to you what cultivation is. So the first thing to come out is the pure awareness. Let's see. Or the pure consciousness. So this pure consciousness or pure awareness nature, from here you start. Then if you go this direction, this is mundane living. Where this one create mundane thinking and thought processes through the senses. So these are the senses within your physical body. So this one create the five aggregates of form and mind, and this is where mundane living is all about. But if you were to silence your mind and stop this thinking, then this one remain as the pure awareness nature without thought. Then this one can see things as they are, like what we have gone through, the Dhamma code, unique Dhamma code 117. Last week. That unique code is very, very important and very beautiful. So when you can see things as they are with the pure awareness, without the thought process, means without word, without naming, without concept, without idea, or without any mundane thinking behind. So that direct seeing will enable you to see things as they are. The Buddha called it jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Means you can see things as they are, not according to your memory, conditioning, belief system, views, opinion, etc. All those are from memory knowledge, not wisdom. So the direct seeing is the silent mind in pure awareness to see things as they are. Then you arise the wisdom, means you understand what is going on in life. You understand how this four circle formation come to be, and how they manifest and transform following nature's law. And the main law that governs all this movement are the three spiritual laws: Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. So when you see all this movement, then you understand, because you are silent, completely silent and just aware. Then you start to see how all this manifestation and thought activity or movement develop, how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, how you become emotional, how you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, excitement, or insecurity, panic, and all those things. So all this movement, when you are aware, you can see. And this mind state is the mundane activity of Sankhara. That's why Sankhara has 52 mind states. So when they arise, if you are aware and mindful, you will know whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind, like what the Buddha explained. Then you start to see it is the mental intention through delusion that condition all this movement. And all this movement, when you do it so habitually, so often, it becomes habitual. That's a habitual tendency, the habitual stirring and reaction to sense experience. And this creates duality, conflict, and misery within the conditioned world. That's why I say, it's a whirlpool of suffering when you don't have the wisdom. If you don't stay at the pure awareness, nature, to develop the direct seeing, to arise the wisdom so that you can live the noble life. When the wisdom is connected to your form and mind, then it knows how to live life. Means it understands the secret of life. That's why it can live life. It understands both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. And that is how that unique code become very unique and very beautiful. So it's just from understanding one sentence. Everything within the existential world or the conditioned world, they are in a state of constant flux, means moving, transforming. That's why this one is condition arising world. Whatever arise, there are causes and conditions. And this constant movement of causes and conditions is what we call impermanent, leading to suffering state when you attach and cling and want things your way, because you do not have the wisdom to understand nature's condition. And because it's constantly in a state of flux, transforming, following causes and conditions and the nature's law, then we will come to know that everything that arises within the phenomenal world of consciousness is not a permanent, unchanging entity. But it's all dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of. That's why the Paticca-samuppada, the dwelling of what they call law of dependent origination, which the Buddha taught under Citta Niyama, is very, very important and very powerful. So when you can see all this movement following that law, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya namarup, continue until the end. So what is avijja? Avijja is ignorant. When there is delusion at the thought level, means this mundane activity, or we call it the mental five aggregate of form and mind, does not develop the wisdom, then there is avijja, ignorant, especially self-delusion. They believe they exist, they are real. And because of that, they develop the personality, the ego, the other, and from there they develop the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Why? When you think you exist, you start to develop craving, desire. You want to own things, you want to possess things. And when things don't go your way, you get angry, emotional. You develop all the jealousy, the envy, and the negative mind state, even hatred. Then, when you cannot understand, you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and all these are part of the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when there is avijja, the Buddha said, the next thing is paccaya sankara. You create thinking, sankara activity. That's why you go to your brain. And upon contact, the brain there trigger of the mental consciousness. That's how the paticca samuppada come to be, the dwelling. So dependent on ignorance, you make contact with the mind through thinking. You go to the brain memory there. Then you want to know, you want to understand, you think. And that thinking is contact with the brain. So like the physics experiment, when you have contact with the brain, what happens? The light bulb lights up. So thought consciousness arises. That's why thought is respond to that memory that you have in your brain. That's how thought is respond to memory. So avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana. Vijnana actually is the pure vijnana before the content of consciousness going. So avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarup. Namarup, the fourth link, is this five aggregate of form and mind. Namarupa. You understand? The lighting up of the bulb when you make contact with the brain is that mental pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing or hearing or smell or taste or tactile and thought process, there is only that consciousness that arises. That's why in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. No delusion, there are no content when it. But when the content has avijja, ignorance, egoic, then it becomes the mundane seeing, egoic seeing, no more the direct seeing. So all this trigger of the delusion, the condition one to believe that I see, therefore I am. So that consciousness that see, you think there is a observer who observe or see, a personality that arises that consciousness. Actually, the two are nature's condition. It just manifests like the physics experiment. You on the switch, the light bulb lights up, that's it. And the lighting up is like making you conscious. The moment of, the conscious moment. And when you are mindful, aware, here, you can see that manifestation of that consciousness, the pure vijnana, without the content. That is the direct seeing. You see things as they are, with the pure mind, the pure awareness, nature. This one, no word, no concept, nothing. That's why there is no movement at all. Everything is just the way it is. Then you see things as they are. No word, no concept, nothing. Just that thing. We call it suchness seeing. Seeing things as they are. Tathagata. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathagata. Yeah. Then Ananda was advised by the Buddha to start all the sutta by saying, "Thus have I heard." Well, this sutta, which is the Dhamma taught by the Buddha, is thus. Thus means it has the characteristic of suchness, the thusness of thing, or that is the reality. The modern people call it suchness, and they sometimes also use the other name, what is, then suchness, then seeing things as they are. So this is all the word that they have come up with to explain what that direct seeing is all about. Seeing truth, seeing the reality, what is. Suchness seeing, seeing things as they are. This point towards the reality. Okay, up to here, can understand? Can follow? If cannot follow, you let me know. So now I read the quote again. Hopefully by now it's clearer. So unit Dhamma code 118. Everything is in a state of constant flux within the existential world, conditioned arising world, and dependent originating world. So I have already defined to you what this phenomenal world is all about. And they are what we call the existential world or conditioned arising world, which is the world that living beings lives in. Yeah. And our planet is only one of the myriad habitable planets. Yeah. So the phenomenal world of consciousness is the entire universe, very vast. Yeah. And all the plane of existence, they are included inside there. Hmm. Do you have any question? Anybody wants to ask any question or add in whatever that has been shared?
Kiho Tu Panamitas. Just something to add. Understanding that everything that I come to engage with my senses is in a state of flux actually helped me change how I interact with things in my life.
Sada.
In a sense that
it
reduces my wanting to control things and outcome. It's probably not yet seeing things exactly
correct.
As they are, but more towards how the nature of reality actually is.
Yes.
Actually understanding more of
Sada.
The impermanence and the
non-self nature
of life. So sometimes in my mind I see a very drastic example. I compare myself to a blade of grass. I don't know if this is a suitable example, but just bear with me. Because this helped me. There are so many human beings on this earth. Same thing, when we look at a field, there's so many blades of grass, and we assume they're all the same. But when we actually look into it, they're all made of cells. Every blade is different. Same with us. Every human being is different. And they are all constantly growing. We see it clearer in grass, because you can see every week you need to cut, otherwise it becomes a jungle.
Yeah, yeah.
And same, actually human beings also, everything is changing. We try to assume that things will be consistent for at least a certain period of time. That is the sense of control we try to bluff ourselves and enforce our ego.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sense like, tomorrow I will wake up, I'll go to work, or it's like the grass is gonna say, tomorrow I will have sunshine and I will grow one more cm.
Yeah, yeah.
But anything can happen. Construction can happen, that whole ground can be destroyed. Or a bug can come about and eat it up. Same thing with a human being, expecting like even the house to be around. That might not seem like a big thing, because we expect building structures to last longer, but actually it deteriorates every minute. And even for the pens and the markers that we use, they dry up every minute, every second.
Yeah.
So the constant state of flux is in everything in front of us. everything we sit on, everything.
Yeah, the whole of the phenomenal world.
Yeah. So the arising, the arising and the maintenance and the ceasing is constantly happening, but we all only want to see the sustenance portion. We always assume that the ceasing portion will never come, and when it comes, that's when we get upset and get disappointed. Like, why it happened to me so fast? Why it didn't happen to me? You know, like according to the statistics, people normally only get this problem at that age. I got it earlier, and it's unfair. So all this seeing the state of facts and seeing how there's no point in trying to control outcomes. Really help me live life happier.
Sadhu. Very good. Thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. So what Sui is trying to share is something very good. Not within the normal Dhamma way of looking at things, but that is how she learned and developed the understanding, which is very good. Because when she say, when we try to control our life and so on, is equivalent to like what the Buddha say, when you want things your way, so not. Where you want to control, you want things to go your way, you don't want things to go the unhappy way, and so not. So wanting things to go your way is not a nature's condition or nature's law. That's why she comes to understand that everything is in a state of flux, following nature's law. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Whatever arise, they will come to pass. It will cease. But before it cease, it will continue to transform. We call it the state of movement or activity or flux. So sometimes we use the word the sustainance of that phenomena. The phenomena does not cease immediately. It continues. That's why you must see phenomena as they are. There and then when they arise, it's arising, sustenance, and passing away. If you can see that, that is the direct seeing. It means the pure awareness see. The moment of its arising, sustenance means its movement, its activity, and how it transforms, and how you see all this clearly. The state of flux, everything. Then how finally, when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be, like my voice. If I speak, if I have a proper throat, then the voice come out on the center. Then this voice is dependent originating on the center, condition arising. When I continue to input the causes and conditions, I continue to speak, this voice continue to manifest. Then if you are nearby, you have a functioning ear, then you can hear through your hearing consciousness. Then you say, yeah, that hearing consciousness is real, exists. And how do we define real and unreal, exist and non-existent? We base it on our limited five senses. The analogy that I gave you last time is very clear. Let's say a moving car. Okay? When it's far away, you cannot hear anything. But when it's approaching within your hearing frequency range, then you can hear the car or the fast moving train. Then when you pick it up, to you, is real. But to another person who is far away, out of the range, it doesn't exist at all. It's not real. So real and unreal is a trick played by our senses, understand? That's why it's limited. It's not a universal truth. And to understand this, you need consciousness, you need awareness. The awareness that can be aware of sound is totally different from the thought that is conscious of sound. When you have the mindfulness and the awareness, you will see the big difference. That's why I gave a talk on the difference between awareness and consciousness. You may be conscious of life, but you are not aware where you are not with the awareness nature. The one that is aware within got no consciousness or content within. It's just that nature that is capable of being aware, the direct seeing everything, but without words. So that manifestation is what Dhamma is. From there, everything arises. That's why in the sixth patriarch Black Fawn Sutta, when Hui Ning met up with the fifth patriarch, after he heard the Diamond Sutta stanza teaching from the fifth patriarch, he came to Great Awakening. Yeah. Then he expressed it out to the sixth patriarch, the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren. He said, how amazing that this nature of ours is already complete by itself. And yet, all things is never apart from that nature. All Dhamma are never apart from that nature. That's why straight away he can understand that. He can realize that. Because he knew what that thing is. The only thing that he doesn't understand is that the fifth patriarch has explained to him is, he said, there is another mind which is the mundane mind. Means the dependent originating mind, condition arising mind, causal phenomena that manifest that type of mind. So that mind, he said, you must learn how to use it for living, for existence, for life, but not to be deluded by it. The moment he heard that, he awakened. Then he is no longer deluded, and he know how to use all those. Before that, he experienced the thing, he know what that nature is, but he doesn't understand the condition Dhamma to use that mundane mind for living. So when he understand, that's why the Buddha also came to understand. He said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And that is the mundane mind, mano. From that nature, all things arise. That's why the second circle, pure awareness nature, it manifests into the third circle, the five area of forming mind, the mundane mind. So all this, when they manifest, you need to meditate with the silent mind, the pure awareness. That's why without sati, you cannot awaken. You cannot understand the movement, activity. You need that sati. That's why the Buddha said, sati leading to heedfulness is very important. For sati is life. Heedfulness is very important. The heedful never die. The heedless, I see that when you are not with your pure awareness nature, means you are lost in thought. Your man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are with your pure awareness, fully aware, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, stirring the emotion, everything. Then the manifestation, you get yourself engrossed in here. You cling to this phenomenal world of form and consciousness. And this is the what we call the materialistic world, yeah, where all the excitement and suffering and misery, they are all manifesting and transforming here. But this is like a magician. Create illusion. That's why you also call it the illusionary world. This existential world is an illusionary world. We have consciousness that manifests. The example or analogy of the aggregate of consciousness, vijnanam, is like a magician. Means an illusionist that create illusion for you to see like very real. So all this that arise through consciousness within the conditioned world, we grasp something because to us it's very real, like the example I give. All the physical form, external form, even the table, the chair, the rupang, is so solid, no? To you, it's so real, no? But how do you perceive them, know them? It's only through your thought, understand? Perception and image. And how real can that image be? That's why there is no reality, it's an illusion. If there is no mind to give meaning, to label, to describe, to create the duality and the concept, the ideology, then there is no conflict. Everything is very peaceful, very beautiful. But because of this mundane activity and thinking, there is the karmic process. There is suffering, there is misery. Of course, there is also joy, happiness, excitement. And this is what the conditioned world is all about, the phenomenal world is all about, the illusionary world is all about. So as you develop more and more understanding, as you contemplate deep into it, all these meanings stand up. Yeah. Then life can have its meaning. Life can manifest beautifully. Yeah. Just like the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva mentioned, in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. So all these are added understanding. That's why what Sui added was good. When you can see all this, then the ego that wants to control things, possess things, and want things your way, means you want to have control over your life. That is an illusion. That everything is in a state of flux, dependent on it. Unless you understand the nature's law, you cannot understand life. And there is no way you can control life. Everything existed, I won't say independently, it's dependent oriented, but they are separate entities. You know? All this form and mind, they have their views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. How can you get everybody to have the consensus to be agreeable to anything? That everyone is born differently. Your karmic background, your karmic formation, how you actually go through the karmic process. This karmic nature is so different than some spiritual nature don't have. And most of them are entangled with the karmic nature. That's why samsara, the suffering world of birth and death, means this phenomenal world of birth and death, which we call samsara, is like eternity, unending. Birth and death, birth and death. That cycle of birth and death, like continuously move. And to escape from this cycle of birth and death, which is the rebirth consciousness of samsara, you need to develop the wisdom to awaken. Then without avijja, the rebirth consciousness ceases to be born of avijja no more. Then you can come as a bodhisattva with a pure mind or pure consciousness, born of love and compassion. Okay? So that is good. Eh? So that part, I think, give rise to more understanding. And it also give rise to the explanation that I just give you. That help complement what I shared earlier. Yeah, that part is more towards how the individual perceive life, understand life, and live life. You want to add on?
About the first noble truth of dukkha, you mentioned when our expectations are not.
Yeah, when you cannot get what you want. Yeah.
Then we experience suffering. Yeah, and that itself is experiencing dukkha.
Wanting things your way, which is nature's way.
Need not occur. So then when I try to look at when our expectations are not met, then how did I form expectations?
Mm,
expectations
Very
are formed
good.
Based on things that we know, and the expectation comes about when we calculate within tolerable variances for things to happen.
Based on your knowledge.
Based on my knowledge, yes.
Yeah.
That is ignoring the state of flux of the fluidity of things.
Yeah.
And then if I hold strongly to all my expectations about the world, the society, myself, my body, my capabilities, I will be a very miserable person.
Yeah. That's why the first number two, under the five daily contemplation, the Buddha taught us very clearly, this physical body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, or he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. And that message is very powerful. Means, this one, make of all element, the physical body, go the way of nature. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity, not you. That's why you deludedly grasp and cling and believe that this physical body is you. If you hold on to that, you develop suffering, like Sui said. You worry about you getting old, getting sick, and finally die. But that is not what you want. You want eternal life. You want a physical body that don't have problem, don't have sickness, will not be subject to injury and horrors. That is not possible. Where we live in a Canadian world. And this one is just the physical aspect of the five aggregate of all my mind. And this is karmically conditioned for us to come. And this is a vehicle. And the tool is the consciousness, the mind. So you must see the whole thing, how the causes and conditions animate this human being or living being that arise within the existential world. So when you see them, then you realize this one also has its causes and conditions. Without the physical body in working condition, without the consciousness trapped inside, and without the life force, means that karmic force or karmic nature's energy, life force, that animate and pump the heart and animate you into a living form. Or a living being. For our case, it's a human being. You cannot arise on this now. That any of the three conditions, no more, separation of consciousness from the form, is being triggered off. Then they say you die, death. There is no such thing. Understand? Yeah. I'm going to say.
Yeah, and having expectations is actually a manifestation of ego.
Yeah.
Because it actually has a wanting for things to be constant. I can't describe it very well. The nature of us having an expectation and then wanting it to happen, but getting disappointed when it doesn't happen, it spells ego true and true. The non-acceptance of the fluidity of life and everything around us. That's as best as I can put it.
good, sadhu, very good. That's why when you reflect into life, contemplate into life, all this will become clearer and clearer.
Found the words. So as like having an expectation, meaning that I believe I have all the assumptions, hence I can predict what will happen. When it didn't go according to plan, the world must be wrong. I am not wrong. That's why I say there's ego throughout having expectation and holding strongly to our views.
Sorry. Very good. So you all can slowly expand on all this, then you will come to a very clear understanding that all this activity of mundane thinking is what the egoic mind is all about. The egoic mind can come up with a lot of concept, idea, views, opinion, belief system, conditioning. That's why that wrong perception give rise to coming negativity. Without wisdom, without understanding, the mind cannot settle down, cannot be at peace. Because you don't have the wisdom to see things as they are. You cannot accept the reality of what happened, what is, suchness. You cannot see things as they are. So all this points towards sakkayadity, avijja, delusion. Thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. It cannot be otherwise. We have conditioned like that. Things will be like that. Is the condition wall. Why can't living being awaken to that understanding? Because we have craving. The word is craving. When you have craving, you want things your way, you will have problem. Craving, which is your desire. So in the second noble truth, the cause of arising of suffering is what? They always use the word craving, isn't it? When you have craving, it will trigger off suffering. To crave for something is to want things your way, which is not nature's manifestation or condition. Means you cannot understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you have craving. Like Sui say, you want to have control over things. You want to own things, have things, possess things. And you want to be on top of things. That's why all this so-called desire, authority, violence, emotion, even envy, jealousy, the mind state, they are all craving. So craving is the main cause of suffering, which is true. Without craving, there is no suffering. That's why they say, the link, upon contact, feeling arise, remember? Feeling condition what? Patisasapopada. Paksa, pacaya, vedana. Means, upon contact, feeling arise. Then feeling condition what? Your like and dislike, your neutral, this is your craving, understand now? Vedana pachya tangha, tangha pachya upadan, grasping. After you crave, you grasp, then you become the thing. That's why the Patisasamuppada is clearly described. And this is what is happening within the human mind, the mundane mind. Without craving, all these things cannot manifest. That's why the enlightened being, especially the Arahant and Bodhisattvas and the Buddhas, they have wisdom. When they have wisdom, what happens? Upon contact, feelings still arise. But feeling will not be conditioned into craving. Why? Because they have the wisdom. So feeling will become pure feeling, understand? It does not like stir or react, where they can accept things as they are. They can see things as they are. They have that wisdom, the understanding. They don't have expectation. They don't have craving to want things their way. That's why they can stay there, pure feeling. They can just be conscious there. Then whatever that want to make them miserable, they have the wisdom that the phenomenal world of consciousness is an illusionary world. It has its characteristics of avijja, impermanent, suffering state and non-self. So if it's impermanent, it goes the way of nature, I cannot resist, I have to accept this reality. Like Sui said, I have to embrace everything. To embrace everything in life is wisdom, then you no more craving. Then whatever happened, like Sui contemplated and reflect, it has to be this way, you know? It's meant to be. And this is the beauty of life. When it's this way, then only like what happened to her, the cut, the scars, the finger, Then she realized if she don't go through all this, she don't learn. And there is no meaning to life, no beauty. The beauty is all this can be understood and embraced as one. And when you can embrace, everything means you have wisdom. You can accept whatever arises. You can see things as they are. You can be at peace with all things. You will no longer behave like before. And this is what Dhamma is. And to live that type of noble life with that type of wisdom is not easy. You have to awaken. You have to develop the realization. Then when you completely have the realization, the ultimate enlightenment, then you can transcend life. Without the ultimate enlightenment, you cannot transcend life. That's why the new book is very good. You should read it up. Okay, now we come to our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, or whatever the mind daily life sharing that you want to share. What about Padmasri? She must be having good meditation. Pass the mic to her. She was lying down throughout the session. Very good. Sadhya.
Good evening, Brother.
Sadhya.
It's still in open. Yeah, I don't know why.
You want to lie down. Well, your nature is developing the movement. That's why you are doing.
Tonight, don't know why.
Never mind, you describe what happened, that was more important.
It's just I cannot sit, I just want to lie down.
And your nature know, your mundane thought may not know. That's why you lie down for almost 1 hour. Because we start before 9, you know.
The moment variety stop, then it's just like...
You have to wake up already. That's why you have to share.
I don't know what to share.
No, you just describe what happened. Exactly. How you go into all those states. Exactly. Don't need to add anything. No need to, from the thought, try to think and describe. No.
I was sitting here. Quiet, but... I was trying to listen and open my eyes to
correct, but you can't.
Cannot.
You cannot.
Just cannot.
Just silent. Stay at the heart. So that is what they call it, the mind-to-mind seal. That one can listen. That one, the vibration all will go in. Stay at the heart. Remember.
And then the moment variety stop is, I just...
Become conscious again. At that time, the whole session, you are drawing that wisdom, energy, and vibration without you knowing it. Because your conscious mind is not active, then this one draw. That's why when you feel like want to lie down, then like you cannot want to become conscious or aware and try to listen, you cannot. Forget about the listening. Listen from your heart. Straight away go to the nature there. And the vibration that go in actually is better than your real listening. Because most of the time, that listening from the conscious moment may not be that deep nature to nature's transformation, or they call mind to mind seal, that type of reception of the Dhamma. So that one which is completely in a meditative state without knowing. That's why you say you try to listen but cannot. That thing is like that. When the time for it to arise in that way, it will manifest. That's why in the early day I share with you all after 1989, even while I'm doing my office work or what, suddenly I felt, you all may think it's sleepy, but it's not sleepy. It's the body telling you, the nature telling you, you must lie down. You must meditate. Then I will lie down. Then sometimes while driving also same. For no reason I detect something, then inside tell me, stop somewhere. Then I just silent. Yeah, I went in. So all this, it will manifest by itself. Then like last time I told you all, that Amitabha chanting, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. It keep on revibrating from the somewhere at the side of the brain there, no? At the back, I remember. That chanting keep on rising on its own, no? Then my awareness nature is 100% heavy, no? No thought, nothing. That is sync, complete synchronized. Then it went into that deep state. That's why after that I came out, I understood what Pure Land teaching is all about. Why chanting alone can bring forth the transformation. Because you must have the faith in Amitabha, the affinity and all things. And I realized my nature in the past did that meditation before. That's why it triggered off that thing for me to see and to understand. Then when you are in that state, you are in samadhi and all, where you have the saddha already, then you know who the Buddha is, means Amitabha Buddha, how special his cultivation and all things. Then the faith together with the virya will develop the sati. The sati, which is the mindfulness, means the awareness and the chanting move as one. And the chanting is not me chanting, no, there's like no one to chant, no. But it's just that nature that give rise to the phenomenon. That's why I came to know the phenomena and the awareness move as one. No thought, nothing. It's just... And the whole thing is so beautiful that you completely went into that samadhi, which is very stable. And that clarity. That's why after that you come out, you understand a lot of things. Then throughout the day, the mind enters the sati and you become very different. Everything you do is in sati. Then the time, driving, sitting, seeing, like the Buddha described in the Satipatthana, the sati sambhajana, looking forward, aware, turning, bending, stretching, every movement or activity is aware. Then in the seeing, that consciousness come on. If I want to know, I can know. If I don't to know, no need to know. Then the specific phenomena awareness. That's why my nature can see all this. And I can be at the moment of contact. No movement. Not like you are upon contact, feeling straight away arise on. It can stay there at the moment of contact. Then you release it, then feeling arise. Then because of the wisdom, the feeling cannot stir up. It remains as pure feeling. Then you can be at the moment of consciousness, at the moment the content go in, at the moment when thought trigger off. That's why all this mindfulness, awareness can see. And when you have the ability, you will awaken. You will understand what all these things is. You will come to understand who you are, what you are. How from the pure awareness nature it manifests into the mundane activity and thought process and trigger out the phenomenal world of consciousness. And how the nature's law, Paticca Samuppada, law of karma, everything about the Buddha's teaching, the essential Dhamma, the three evils, the five spiritual faculties, the five mental universe, everything is within the conditioned world. That's why within the conditioned world there is the Four Noble Truths. There is attainment, enlightenment, everything. But in true emptiness under the Heart Sutta, no old age, no sickness, no death, but he no you, he no me, no Four Noble Truths, nothing. Everything is not the way living being think, not what you think. But the thought can never understand things that are beyond thought, beyond mind. Okay?
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. This is the first time during, actually, Usually during class, I'm wide awake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm very attentive and wide awake.
Yeah, yeah. He wants you to go into that so that inside will move and transform. But did you completely silent in between?
Yeah, but
very good.
This is the first time like that.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of people at the retreat, they went through that. Last time Song also came and asked me. I said, don't try to know, don't listen, go to the heart. Amy also asked me. Alicia, they all, they went through, they know. They went in deep. Then like Alicia described, after that, very difficult to come out. You went too deep into that nature. For you to become conscious, come back to the surface. They call it the surface mundane consciousness again. Take a while on, because that one is so deep inside. Completely without thought on. And it's like, actually during that time, if you have the wisdom stabilizer, you will lapse into cessation. The cessation can happen, but most of them, the sainthood way, is a glimpse. Understand? But if you can go in longer, then when you come out, you will know. And before you go in, you will understand. Completely the brain here, oh, no activity, nothing. You must go through it, then you will understand. But the brain here, actually, you cannot stop thinking. The sankhara is like a dynamo, moving non-stop. You know what is a dynamo? The dynamo that generates electricity, keep on rotating on it and spinning. But when you are with that pure nature, it's like no sound. That, like the car perfectly tuned, like the dynamo completely without sound, without noise, without vibration. Then after that, it become completely still, means completely no activity at all, means you are without consciousness, but you didn't die, you understand, you didn't die. Then after that, completely the mundane mind ceased by itself, means the whole brain also got nothing, no movement, no activity, but you don't die, no heartbeat, nothing, but you don't die. Then when the time come, how it come out is the most beautiful. That's why I saw the four stages of formation. How from the nature, from that nature of ours, you can call it your oneness nature, Buddha nature, true nature, or original nature, the words are not important. How the first pure awareness come out? Then how the three areas of consciousness that pure awareness go up, one to your brain, to animate this brain and become a dynamo again. So the sankhara activity all start again. Then how it go to your heart area one, then the other one move to the tantian area. That's why this pure awareness move into the three area of consciousness and animate you into a living being, into a human being. Then you become conscious again. Then initially I remember when you arise from that state, it's like nothing on now. It's just that pure nature arising. Then everything that come in, like the sense data, you can see slowly coming in on. It cannot trigger anything. It take a while before the interaction. That's why I saw all the contact and how it moved. All this activity, the 18 sense line activity, like in slow motion, play out for you to see. That's how I saw how, from the pure awareness nature, how it split into the three area of consciousness. It goes to the brain, it developed the brain activity first. Means that brain up there, like suddenly the dynamo start again. So all of your whatever memory, everything together with the consciousness, they come as one again. But very slow. Not so fast. It's like slowly, it's like in slow motion for you to see. Then how the heart area that has the awareness nature, how the awareness stay there. Then how the Tantian area, the earthly energy, how it move there and animate this so-called Tantian area's consciousness. Then you become a conscious being again. Then your senses start to function. That's how I see how from here it manifests to here. Then how from here it manifests to here. Then I see all the things clearly. What I told you all that time was on the bus when I came out of the retreat in 1989. So that was the first time I saw all this. That's why I can share all this with you all, is because that is what happened, the transformation. That's why the real thing is not written in the book, not written anywhere. Unless you go through, you cannot understand. And this is not a theory, not a concept, not a knowledge, or not something I plucked from somewhere or copied from somewhere. Actually, this line, nobody taught me all this. Then how did I understand? Then I saw it. Then what happened was my spiritual nature, when I connect and when I inherit, all this understanding came back. That's why a lot of things I never learned this line. Nobody taught me. But how come my nature can understand? And all this can come to be. It's because it's meant to be. That's why in the year 2008, Maitreya came and made the request. And all this is to fulfill something that my segmented life is supposed to do for mankind, for humanity. Okay? So you continue.
There's a lot of things actually I myself don't understand.
No, my one. Initially, you will never understand one. No need to understand. Because the understanding will come later on. That nature, after you go through already, especially you listen to what I share today, later on you will understand. Last time Song also went through. He also cannot understand. Yeah, he always go to the thinking mind. Understand?
Yeah, it's not from the thinking mind.
No. I'm not saying you. I say Song every time go back to the thought. And why like that? Because the analysis, the reasoning, he wants to use the mundane mind. And when you go back to that, you get trapped again. That's why I say, forget about trying to know, trying to listen. Stay here at the heart. In fact, at the retreat, a lot of Kayamita who can do it, can stabilize the awareness, they told me, they just went into it. And after that, like I explained before, even in the latest book also, after you come out of your meditation, as if you didn't listen to what I say, you know. But very funny one. After that, whatever Dhamma that is related to what I share, you can understand. The wisdom energy went in really.
Just like that day, Pratya, I would like to share the Tuesday class. You just say one sentence only, you don't even know what is a precept and you break. How do you know that you break the precept? Then the understanding came in. The moment you have negativity, you are breaking your precept.
You must understand why keep precept, understand or not? Don't just because Buddha said that you out of fear, you think you violate, you will get into trouble. Somebody will punish you or whatever. No such thing. That's why the Buddha wants you to understand why he advised the monk to keep the minimum 5 precepts. Because they constitute evil. When you violate them, that's why I give example. Who breaks the precept, violates this precept? The first precept, killing and causing harm. Greedy people, selfish people, violent people, and deluded people. The three evils are there. That's why when you realize that when you have this three evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, it will condition you into evil. It will make you evil. That's why they are called evil roots. Roots of all evil. It make you evil. If you violate that, karmically, you will kena back. You will be harmed. You will be killed, and you will be like entangled into suffering. You know, when you do that thing, you break that precept, you harm people, kill people, and cause suffering and misery to people. You reap what you sow, it will come back to you. So when you see the danger of that, you vow not to do it. That's why you undertake the training rule to abstain. How to abstain? You need mindfulness to see, to be aware of the evil root. Otherwise, you cannot keep your precept. That's why without sati, you are dead. And you cannot be aware, how can you exercise the four right effort? Right effort to abandon. Right effort to prevent the arising of that wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. All this need understanding and wisdom. It's not about the theoretical Dhamma, that's all. Yeah. Theory, no use. That's why in the Theravada tradition, all these are not taught. They are told the precept. But no explanation why keep the precept. And how, from the teaching that the Buddha taught, based on his essential Dhamma, based on the first right view, yeah, the law of karma. That's why he realized this. When you don't take care of karma, the karmic law will take its process, then you will suffer. We are the roots of all evil. That's why he contemplated and reflected, and he realized those who do all this, the five precepts that he listed, they constitute major evil. And because they constitute major evil, if you don't keep, you will get into big trouble. That's why that precept is administered to all the devotee and the monk out of love and compassion for them, not to make life difficult for you. So that precept is very important. So understanding all this will give rise to the understanding why the Buddha say, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyodapanam etang buddhan. The advice of all the Buddha. Why you have to avoid all evil to good. Purify the mind. Otherwise you cannot free, you cannot liberate. You will be entangled in the phenomenal world of consciousness. So all this, they will become clear to you. That's why cultivation must be done with understanding. The key word is understanding. If you don't understand, you just follow what people do. Repetitive knowledge, no use. You cannot break free. Yeah. When you see the importance, you understand the reason why you have to keep the precept, then the precept becomes automatic. Understand?
Yes, now I understand. Right? It is not sadhu. From the mandema.
No more. It's the heart understand. That's why it will hold on. It will not break on. Yeah. But don't be rigid, understand? Don't be like, hey, I cannot lie, you know. Because that precept, the intention is not to hurt and harm, understand? You lie to hurt and harm, that is evil. But like the doctor, understand, white lie, sometimes they diagnose maybe cancer. Yeah? What stage or what? The result came back actually. Means they know it's bad. But if they tell you straight away, means out of whatever reason, most of the time it's selfish, because they want you to seek his professional treatment and all those things and want the money, then they panic you and you big problem already. You stage 4 or stage 5 already. You don't go through chemo, you don't do all this. You got 6 months life maximum or 3 months. You create fear and panic in people. Instead, you can say, don't worry. This result is quite normal. Some are worse than you. But there can be solution. You can seek treatment or alternative treatment or whatever. Then there are many people who recovered from it. You must give them the confidence, the hope and so on. Then teach them how to change their mind state. If you develop the fear, then the negative energy will bring your immune system down further. Because most of these people got wrong thought on, negative thought on, fearful thought on, insecurity, worry, anxiety, stress. And if you succumb to all those, your immune system will go down and it will make you worse. But when you are a good doctor, then you can give people the advice. All this will not help you. What you should develop is the understanding. These are realities of life and existence. Everybody who goes through life, sooner or later you have to confront them. You confront them with understanding and wisdom, then you don't have to suffer, you don't have to fear and asana. Like what Sui came to know. Embrace it. Then I do what I have to do on asana. If I need to ask for forgiveness, seek forgiveness, I do. If I need to develop good mind state so that my immune system go up, I develop metta order, I do. Then I invoke power of merits for turn around. Then I change my diet and all those things. Then I seek alternative cure, people who have recovered from it. And these are more tangible things. Then the doctor who advise like that may not be the one that speak the so-called rigid truth and asana. Why should you do it that way? No need to create fear, panic in people. Talk to people nicely. Let them understand this is, but of course if they are not spiritual, they can only speak from what they understand as a doctor. But there are a lot of good doctors that are very professional, devoted, not for the sake of money. I met a few very good doctors. They told me, he said, Mr. Teo, you are common servant, your wife common. You can go and do an IGN free, no need money. Where could doctor tell you this? So most of them is, they want your service. They want to provide you with the professional service then, so that they can make some money. But very few are that caring. And some, they talk to you in a very nice manner because you can understand them and they appreciate. Then through all this, you develop the understanding of what karma is. You reap what you sow. If you have negative intent to make money, in future, when they take birth, future birth, they are not doctor, then they will visit the doctor that has the same attitude as them or want to make money from them. That's why they will end up seeing all those bomo and all those things that want to scam on them. So this is what karma is all about. You reap what you sow. Do good, because good to evil. So when you understand all this, you cannot violate the precept really. You cannot like want to harm people, hurt people, even the environment or what. You cannot do already. That so-called selfish intent can never exist already. But you know it's not worthwhile. This is not something that you can play with. The nature's law is very powerful. You cannot violate it. So automatic on the precept. That's why the Buddha said, even as a sotapanna, you remember? You cannot break the five precepts. Even as a sotapanna. Because they know what that thing is, not what you think. He know you, he know me inside there. So they will not go and do all those foolish things anymore. You cannot gain anything out of it. You have no reality. Empty nature arise and pass away. So all this understanding, they will manifest when you have the awareness nature, the wisdom born of the direct seeing and the understanding. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Sadhu. Thank you. Anything else that you want to add or share?
No, it's just that the understanding will keep popping
up. Yeah, keep on arising.
Keep on arising, and it link is like a, it has a link.
Yeah, it's link connected.
It's connected.
Everything is connected.
You start connecting one.
Yeah, la. One Dhamma door to the next.
Yes,
they are all like connected. Then you start to see the full picture. It's no longer isolated Dhamma here and there. That's why I can connect all the teaching is because I understood it. That's why everything is related, connected.
Sometimes as you do some work, the thing just connects and then cannot remember after.
No need to remember, but that one is memory. Forget about it. But the awareness that developed the wisdom and the you have means you have. I already told you. You only so manasikara is not a knowledge. Once you have developed the direct seeing, the awakening and the contemplation, it's with your nature. So that nature that has it during that segmented life, you will retain it one. It will not disappear. But when the form and mind gone, of course, that wisdom that is connected will be up in the spiritual nature. Understand? Spiritual nature will record all those. That's why that one you have to connect in the future life, then inherit from there. Spiritual nature not like coming now. The moment you are born, the coming nature takes its effect. Right? But spiritual nature, you must develop the inner awareness, stability of it until you connect to that nature. And when you connect to that nature, then it starts its activity and movement. Then later on, when you detect the gateway, there is the big movement. At that time, like a gush of spiritual energy enter your nature. Then this one melt inside. The external yin-yang energy will melt inside and become pure energy. And this pure energy is like a gush of that spiritual wisdom energy that come in. And when that one come in, it will do the internal movement and travel by itself, the fourth support trust. And that trust, when it moves, the understanding that arises is so different. That's why that one comes from the spiritual nature. I didn't learn this line. But the understanding unfolds. Then after that, all of the whatever Mahayana Sutta or whatever, when I read, I understand. When I read, I understand. Or sometimes I heard some wise stanza, my nature straight away understand. How is that possible? Because it's from that spiritual nature. In past cultivation, when that segmented life come, it has developed all this understanding until so clear, so stable. And you won't lose it one. You will inherit it one. But to inherit it, you must have the condition to connect to your nature. If you don't connect to your awareness nature, you cannot inherit. That's why I say the sainthood way is comparatively very much easier. But the bodhisattva way, the supreme vehicle way, you need that spiritual nature's assistance. If you don't go there, too long for you to learn. One lifetime, one second, how much can you learn? Even the sainthood way also you cannot comprehend. Then how to go the supreme vehicle way? That's why you need the awareness nature. That's why you look at the Bohi-mind development. The third stage of Bohi-mind development is the Bohi-mind that illuminate the nature. That's right. You cannot connect how to illuminate that flow. That's right. That's why a lot of people stuck at stage 1 and stage 2 of Bohi-mind development. Stage 3 and 4, you can clear, you are a great being. Very, very special. Then of course, after that, no more problem. Every coming, every manifestation as a form and mind is everything within your vows and everything. That's why I say I don't plan, I don't do anything. My nature just accord and flow. Well, in the past cultivation, all this understanding set the causes and conditions for the future segmented life to come. Everything is already set. That's why this life I come, I didn't do anything. I just echoed and flow, and everything just unfold. But I say, even if you allow, even if nature allow you to plan your life, I cannot plan it so perfectly and so well. Cannot know it. But that nature that does all this, which I wrote in the last book, is really amazing. It can create the causal and condition until it's so perfect. Like everything fall in the place that is meant to be. Your conscious mind can never plan until like that one. For all these causes and conditions to fall into place. Like all the kayamita that came to me, most of them I don't know. Apart from my wife, my children, and some like me for physically, and of course, they are my unit mate. But the rest of you, you don't know me. And how you come about, you will know. Nothing to do with me. It's causes and conditions that manifest.
Yeah, it's really very weird.
Yeah.
After meeting Brother Theo, it's not that what I want to do, it's just that the condition is like that.
Yeah,
just move on.
Because in the past, there are certain past causes and conditions which you may not know or recall. But definitely there are, otherwise you cannot be so close, understand not? Like you helping out and gratitude every time come and take me for lunch, for dinner and all those things. It's not by coincidence. In the past, you all have done this before. But that time, maybe you don't know who I am. We are no sasana. But good enough. So all this, not easy to comprehend. But when the causes and conditions fall into play, that's why I say, all of you, Kayamita, you have your past affinity and link. Otherwise, you cannot be here. You cannot be listening from me. You cannot come to know me. And cannot be in the Kayamita family doing all this. Cannot know it.
Can I ask one question?
Can? Yeah.
There were, during the retreat, there's one retreat, I took Radio book there. I just read few pages, two, three pages, the word becomes very clear.
Yeah.
Then until certain moment, I becomes very emotional.
Yeah.
Inside, very emotional.
Yeah.
And I cannot read on.
Never mind.
Then I was
let the tears come out. Let the joy come out. No problem.
It's not really that the joy sometimes, the emotion just come like that. Why I cannot,
It's not that emotion, it's the excitement that manifests, but you felt like there's a lot of emotion, because these are the release of that type of energy, which you cannot understand yet. You understand? Because this unfolding is just the beginning. You haven't really received the what they call penetrative awakening and understanding. When you receive that one, it becomes like that type of far-seeing joy, which Alicia they all mentioned. It's completely different. That's why everything is done. She go to the farm, she go to her plants and all things, do the kitchen work, everything. Everything is done. And he read all the Maya Sutta, he Mandarin educated. A lot of us is because she can understand the whole thing just manifests. So this is what cultivation is all about. When you have gone through, you will know how it can manifest. That's why all this nobody can teach you unless that being has gone through that type of cultivation and experience. They cannot share all this with you. So don't worry, let it rise, then just accord and flow. Remember the key word, don't try to know, don't try to even listen. When it wants you to lie down and silent, silent. That's why silent is golden. It's not what you listen, Sometimes the conscious listening, most of the time, is the knowledge, anasana, because it need to be processed. But when you contemplate, it's different. Yeah. But when you listen attentively with the awareness nature and let it manifest, it's different again. Yeah. But you listen for the sake of listening, want to get the Dhamma, that one is still a preliminary slow stage of listening. Yeah. But as you transform inside, your listening become different. Yeah. Then when whatever you read, whatever you hear, it will awaken you. Yeah. Means that nature inside there move already. Yeah. That's why last time I shared with you, it depends on how much you can receive. If your cultivation is not there, you don't have a cup, how you receive? You have to put your hand out and then the water may seep through all your whatever fingers opening. Then you cannot hold them. But you have done your cultivation already, means that is the base already. Then this one is like a small cup. You can receive a bit at a time, a bit at a time. But later on when you cultivate until so stable already, it's no more a small cup. It's that heart there that nature draw. That's why they will draw from my nature. Yeah. Last time I draw from higher beings' nature. Then now, everywhere I go for the last 20 whole years, most of the time it's cultivated draw from my nature. Yeah. And this one, the more you draw, the more powerful it becomes. It does not deplete. It's not like reservoir, you draw the water, then no more water. The more people draw, the more powerful that nature's energy become. That's why you see when I share at the retreat or what, my energy suddenly like surge. Anasana. Then those who listen, they can detect them. There a lot of joy, even at my house. They will say, I come to your house different relative. At home, I cannot do it. A lot of people have been telling me that. Then at the retreat also say, different. Well, that nature there is different. And our collective consciousness, all the, then our Kayamita tree also say, where we move together as one. Then our Kayamita force, our Kayamita's group consciousness, all different. Then the great beings, nature, everything. All this will fall into place. Now you go and read the last book. The last book mentioned a lot of this. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Sadhu, let us rejoice. Yeah? You conclude now.
There's still a lot of things. It's not the thought cannot understand one.
Definitely.
You have to silence and then it just come like that.
Yeah.
And then and I this cannot is, put into words.
This is just the beginning of the unfolding. Of course you cannot put into words, like I told Song. You need the stability. The stability comes from the constant cultivation, reflection, contemplation, until it becomes very stable, until it becomes a part of it. At the end of that time, you realize, hey, suddenly you can express it, you can share, and you can do a lot of things. Then your insight also changes already. Then you can understand a lot of things. Then with what I share, is actually prepare you all to have this understanding later. All this, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, you listen again, different. You remember last time you all told me? Every time, especially so, every time he listen, every time he read, different understanding again. Because when you are not ready, you can only receive so much. Then as you progress, you receive more, you receive more. It's like, hey, clearer and clearer and clearer, deeper. But what is being taught is top to bottom. It depends on whether you are ready to receive it or not. And how much you can receive depends on your nature at that time. Okay?
Thank you.
Sadhu, let us return. Sadhu. Okay, we better share that in a bit later. Akasata Cheva Pumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditva Chirang rakkantu loka sasana Etta vata chamehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Deo satukalena Sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Sattang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu 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 Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy one. Then we end, Sadhu.